everyone, and welcome to this lunchtime session, Opportunity London session focusing in on Barnet. My name's Catherine Staniland. I'm the Director of New London Architecture, and it's really nice to see so many of you here today. So today we're going to be taking a particular focus in on the Brent Cross Opportunity Area, which is one of the largest regeneration areas currently taking place in Europe. £2.5 billion programme, so not a small task. Covering an area of some 370 acres, the area is due to see the transformation of the Brent Cross Shopping Centre, together with a new town centre, High Street, some 27,000 new jobs, 7,500 new homes, as well as the development of a new station for Thameslink. And much of this has been made possible through innovative public-private partnerships that we're going to be talking through a little bit later on today, and particularly through Barnet Council and Argent Relators are the kind of newest part of the project. So we have a number of the key stakeholders here today to talk through what's been happening and talk through the next steps in delivering this major new place for London. So to my left, we have Kath Shaw, who's the Deputy Chief Executive of the London Borough of Barnet. We have David Partridge, Joint CEO of Argent Related and Managing Partner of Argent. Stuart Murray, the Head of Development Group for GL Hearn. Stephen McDonald, Director of Place for REE. And Peter Cole, Chief Investment Officer of Hammerson. So fantastic lineup today. So we're going to start with a presentation to kick off from Kath, then we'll have a bit of discussion, and then we'll come to you for some questions. So Kath, if I can ask you to come to the panel.
Thank you. As Catherine said, I'm Kath Shaw. I'm the Deputy Chief Executive of Barnet Council. Those of you that were at the mayoral strategy session this morning will have heard that Outer London wasn't pulling its weight. I beg to differ. We have a huge amount going on in Barnet, and we can't talk about it all today, so we're just going to focus on the Brent Cross scheme. My aim, really, in the 8 minutes I've got, is to give you enough of an overview that the comments that these gentlemen make later are all in context and you really understand the scheme that we're trying to deliver. Catherine's given you, Catherine's given you a lot of the essential stats. Many of you will know Brent Cross Shopping Centre. It was one of the original shopping centres. It's 40 years old. We're doubling that in size, delivering 7,500 new homes, 4 million square feet of office space, a new station. We euphemistically write highways improvements. That's four major junctions on the North Circular, including the junction with the M1. So it, in its own right, is an enormous project that we're having to manage as part of the overall delivery. And then, obviously, all of the social infrastructure that you'd expect to see as part of a new place, a new piece of London. So starting with the shopping centre, which is being delivered by the owners, Hammerson and Standard Life, in partnership with the council. Those of you that know Brent Cross Shopping Centre will know that it has a large number of car parks in front of it. On this map, the existing shopping centre, can you see that? You can't, can you? The existing shopping centre is the blue part with its anchor stores, John Lewis and Fenwick, and this whole area to the front is the new extension. The River Brent is being diverted to create the space to extend the shopping centre. We're very conscious that by the time the shopping centre opens in 2022, Westfield Stratford will be 10 years old. So I know that Hammerson put a huge amount of thought into what does the next generation of shopping retail leisure experience look like. And I have, as a result, some obligatory CGIs of people drinking cappuccinos and generally enjoying themselves. But it really, truly will be a fantastic place. Photo here I should draw attention to is of the Living Bridge. One of the characteristics of the site is that it's very heavily constrained by transport infrastructure. So it has the North Circular running through it, it has the A5 and the main line to one side, the A41 and the tube line to the other side. And we've been very clear that we want to break out of that island mentality to make this integrated into the wider area. The Living Bridge is a really key part of that and will enable you to transition seamlessly over the North Circular between the town centre housing and office area and the shopping centre itself. So we got planning consent for this in 2010, working jointly with Hammerson and Standard Life. Hammerson and Standard Life then chose to focus predominantly on the shopping centre, and the council agreed to take on delivery of the South Side. I don't think we quite knew what we were letting ourselves in for when we agreed to do that, but I'm very glad that we did. We went out in 2014 using a negotiated procedure and appointed urgent related. Negotiated procedure, OGU negotiated procedure sounds quite dull, but those of you that have been involved in OGU processes will know they have a huge impact on all of our quality of life. And one of the great things about the negotiated procedure was that it was quicker, it was cheaper, but also it allowed us to really focus on getting the partner that we wanted to work with. And I think, you know, we'll talk later about public-private working, but that ability to choose a partner rather than worry about the detail of the scheme was absolutely fundamental to us, and I hope David will say the same. The six boxes on the left, right, as you face it, are what we went out saying we wanted to achieve. I think Urban Village, we only wrote it 3 years ago, but it sounds a bit hackneyed now, doesn't it? But what we really meant was that we wanted this bit of London to be a place. We wanted it to be a place that if you had something to do, you could come and do it. A place that if you had nothing to do, you could come and hang out there. We did not want it to be a dormitory where everybody left in the morning, jumped on the tube and went into central London. We wanted it to be as much a destination as a starting point for people's journeys. The employment component of the scheme is therefore really important to us because that makes it a destination as well as a place to live. So we formed the joint venture with Argent as a master developer. We are working, say, jointly on that. Then Argent Related will deliver most of the plots, certainly the early plots, although there will be potentially some opportunities later on to work with other partners. And we've already appointed London and Quadrant to be the partner on the very first wave of housing, which is replacing some existing units there. One thing that we have given as an undertaking to some of our local smaller RSLs is that registered providers is that we won't have a single housing association partner for the whole scheme because we do want there to be an opportunity really for the local community to get involved in Brent Cross, and some of our smaller housing association partners could be very important to that. Don't worry, I'm not going to explain that diagram of the Thames Link station, but I just wanted to put it up there because the Thames Link station is a huge project. It's half funded by government, who've given us a £97 million grant, half funded through tax increment financing arrangement with the council borrowing and using the business rates from the shopping centre expansion to pay back the borrowing. People always say to me, why on earth does it cost £215 million to build a station? Well, the first thing is it's the Thames Link line. If you're ever going to mess around with a railway line, don't choose Thames Link because it runs all the way through London. It sets the timetable to the north and the south of the city and therefore is the hardest line to mess around with. But also we are providing new sidings, a rail freight facility, a waste transfer station, and so actually it's a much bigger project than just a couple of platforms and a ticket office. So, timeline, it's all getting very exciting. Peter will be starting on site with some enabling works later this year. We are going to then middle of next year, they will start on site fully on the shopping centre. That will enable the south side to go unconditional and it will enable us to borrow the money for the Thames Link. So that will all start delivering. The Living Bridge, the shopping centre and the first homes on the south will open in 2022, as will the station. And from there, it's really just a case of how quickly can you build 7,500 homes while still creating a place that everybody wants to live. So I've put end of 2035 up there as a guess, but hands up, it is a guess. Somewhere between 15 and 20 years feels about right, but who knows? So there you go. Hopefully that's given you enough of an introduction, and now everything that follows will make a little bit more sense.
Thank you very much, Kath. So perhaps then to start off, Peter, I mean, Hammerson have been in the area for quite some time. The Brent Cross Shopping Centre has been in the area for, I think, some 40 years. So perhaps you could reflect on, give us an update on how your plans are evolving and the sort of impact of Barnet's wider ambitions for the area, how it's kind of impacting what you're doing.
Happy to that. The actual project was originally built by Hammerson Standard Life, and it opened in 1976, so it's been around now for 40 years. And that was then it was a partnership with London Borough of Barnet as well. So the continuous theme has been Hammerson and Barnet's landowners looking to move forward. We recognise that Brent Cross is very important, over 3,000 jobs. It's a very key to the economy in North London in terms of rates and that can be generated through. And our ambition with Barnet over the last 20 years has been how do we now help Brent Cross to move forward. We were reminiscing earlier, effectively that was five prime ministers away. So our challenger now is to make sure we get on site before there's any changes of our current one. So let's keep going on that. But that 20-year journey is easy to summarise, but it shows the challenge of these major projects, particularly in London. So the first 10 years was really assembling and making sure everyone was aligned. That led to the master plan, which you've seen the consent for in 2010. That was a great master plan, but like all great master plans, the first question was, how do we actually start it? And we worked on that with Barnett for a number of years and said, actually, ultimately, we need to break it down. We need to break it down to simple pieces. So let's sort out the shopping centre, let's sort out Brent Cross, and that was our piece of the deal. Let's sort out the south side, and that was Barnett's piece of the deal. And a real game changer, encouraged for Barnett and GLA for their support throughout, is to say, let's fund and create the railway station. And that is a significant change, and that really is a game changer for Brent Cross Cricklewood, unlocks it. I can't think of anything else that is innovative in terms of that sheer amount of risk-reward taking and public sector-private partnership. So using our rates, which would normally go to Barnett and GLA, to effectively fund the station. So why does Brent Cross need to change? It's 40 years old now. Retail in London has changed. We're all shopping online. We're all doing different ways. Our retailers need a quality of space they now need. So we need more shops. We need a type of retail space that retailers can thrive in, full-range stores, not small shops, large shops. We need a cinema. We need a catering. All that offer doesn't exist at Brent Cross at the moment. And we've got to make sure we keep that sense of place and that soul which Brent Cross has. So as the master plan has evolved, make sure we keep the experience, we keep a sense of place. That's what we want to achieve. And I'm delighted with Arjun Related actually joining the team, because we're confident that will actually ensure the south side comes forward with that same ambition. So the challenges, CAF's very kindly reminded us a year to go. So like all these, everyone knows, these projects now, the actual number of work streams we're having across the whole project is enormous. And unfortunately, each of the work streams now is critical path. So a bit of work's on the highway, a bit of work on planning, a bit of work on CPO, these are all critical path. So we've got to work very hard now to keep going. We need to get our retailers committing to go forward. And we're just now engaging with the construction market in terms of delivery. So the project is in a good place. It's a very substantial project, it's over 1.4 billion commitment, so it's a major commitment to take. But I think we've now got really good foundations, and really that partnership spirit is carrying on. So as issues arise, we're all getting in the room and making sure we sort them, rather than arguing different points. So if that carries on, I think we're in a really good place.
Thank you. So perhaps moving on to Stuart. I mean, you've been involved in the area for quite some time, both through your previous role at Barnett. at the GLA and now GL Hearn Capita. I wonder if you can perhaps kind of reflect on how the